Oh, hey, I'm Coco, and welcome to our talk show, Single and Too Tired to Mingle. We'll be talking about relationships with ourselves, our exes, our kids, and other important beings. So stay tuned. Eliza, welcome to today's episode of Tuesday Talks.
Amazing. Thank you for having me, Coco.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's a pleasure to host you. And Eliza, you are a singer and a songwriter. So we're
going
to be talking about your life story today.
Yeah.
And you're originally from Latvia.
I am from Latvia. Yeah.
So I'm very curious to know how someone from Latvia comes to London and has an amazing career like you.
I guess, like, to be totally transparent, my parents gave me the opportunity to come to a boarding school in the UK. So I came here by myself and no family at 13 and graduated.
Is that something that you wanted yourself? Or?
Yeah, I mean, when I went, it was the time of Harry Potter.
Right.
So boarding schools were all the craze. And my stepdad's elder children had gone to other schools. So it was kind of, it wasn't unusual at
okay.
that time. And they had the opportunity and the money to send me, so they did.
Okay.
And I did 4 years in a UK schooling system doing GCSEs and A-levels, and then I went to higher education.
Okay.
I studied music and technology in Norwich at University of East Anglia. And then around about the time that I was about to graduate, my parents came into some financial difficulty, and they said, after you graduate, you have to come back. You
wow.
know, they didn't even come to my graduation.
No way.
Because at this point, they couldn't afford the flights. So things turned very quickly from boarding school to kind of them really trying to figure out how they're going to make it work with having two younger children. So I was left to my own devices, and they said, the only way we can help you is if you move back. And I just had finished my bachelor's. I was only 20 years old. And I said, no, I want to go and do a master's, and I want to have a life in music. And to have a life, a career in music back home in Latvia is difficult. The market is a lot smaller. The opportunities are a lot smaller. And, well, it's not a global market. It is a smaller internal market with a language that is spoken by only 3 million people. So I had all my sights were always for the bigger stage.
Okay.
And so I moved into my friend's mom's house, who was going through a divorce.
Right.
And she kindly let me lodge with her. I paid very little considering, like, London rates for rent. And I got two jobs, one at a pub and one at a telesales. And I started my master's and I funded it myself.
Wow.
And I just got stuck in because I knew that going back wasn't an option.
Yeah.
And through doing my master's for half a year, part time, I realized I needed to take a year out because it was so financially draining.
Right.
And in that year out, I got a job in Canary Wharf.
Okay.
In tech.
Where we are today.
Exactly. I'm always back here.
Yeah.
I always come back to Canary Wharf. And that was different.
Mm-hmm.
Very different. I felt that I was really objectified
right.
by the men in the companies that were working near me. Like, for example,
So what were you doing? What were you working at?
I was an office manager for a tech startup
right.
that tried to create paperless tickets for trains and
okay.
transport systems. It was funded by Innovate UK. It, at the time, it was called Multipass.
Mm-hmm.
And it was super interesting. I found tech very interesting because it is very innovative.
Yeah.
And for example, like next door to me in my hot desk, it was like Revolut at the time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Okay. So it was like, you know, now some companies
yeah,
have done amazing
yeah,
things.
Yeah, yeah.
But because I was an office manager,
yeah.
I'm not an engineer, and I was also 21, 22
yeah,
at the time,
yeah.
I found that that environment wasn't the most accepting of me or the most confidence building. And in fact, it was kind of like I was a tourist, you know. In
so
this.
What, they didn't take you seriously because
they didn't take me seriously because I'm a woman, because I look,
because
I'm good looking, and because maybe because they could see I didn't give
yeah.
too much of a shit okay. about being there. It
okay.
was more about like it was a part of my life, but I'm grateful for it.
Okay. So that funded your studies and your
one of my studies.
But we want to know how you became, okay, fine. London is a global stage, correct?
Yes.
But it's very, very big. It's very competitive and everyone from the world is here. So whilst it's a bigger market, it's also much harder to make it. So tell me your story. How did you come into your singing and songwriting?
I was working at this time now. I moved from financial tech into AI.
Right.
I was working for an AI company and they were music based. They were building an AI composer. So I was now back at university doing a part-time master's, working full-time as an operations manager for an AI tech company. And I bought my first microphone and I started recording really bad songs, really terrible songs by myself in my bedroom in Canada, Walter, where I lived at the time. And little by little, I was able to convince other people to do sessions with me. So producers and other things, people that weren't famous or nothing like that. They were all independent like me. And I think little by little, as I started showing songs and things on the internet, I was very lucky to get the attention of people quite quickly after releasing my first single in 2019.
Called?
And Red. Okay. And then in 2020, I released a mixtape called Iron Curtain Golden Pussy.
Okay.
Because I'm Eastern European.
So let's make it be known.
And I thought that like with back home, I grew up with this vision of like, a good woman looks like the girl next door.
Yeah.
A good woman doesn't ask too much. Mm-hmm. She doesn't show too much. Mm-hmm. And it's all very contained around what a good woman is.
Yeah.
And
very stereotypical.
Very. Yeah. And I think that other women around the world can relate to it. Sure. So it's not just an Eastern European thing. So Iron Curtain, Golden Pussy is that the Iron Curtain, they're just trying to hide how much power women have. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to isolate us. So I released this mixtape in 2020. And shortly after, in September, I did some work with a female producer called Laura, who changed my life because she put me on a record. She heard my stuff, really liked it. She was like, come do something with me. I did something with her. And that year, I'm going to guess this is 2020, November, Idris Elba called me.
Oh, nice.
Because someone that had once seen me at an open mic in Peckham in London called Naval, shout out Naval, put
and
my name.
Kids, actually, because I'm a tennis coach in my spare time.
So oh, amazing! Yeah, so you know, yeah. Love that.
There we go, small world.
Literally, you know, and because I haven't actually met his kids, but I have met Sabi, his wife. Okay. But anyway,
yeah.
Shout out Idris. Shout out Naval. Yeah. I jumped on one of Idris's tunes, and obviously that was when stuff really changed because people back home didn't get it.
Yeah.
And now I had done something in the larger media scale with this massive celebrity. And everyone goes, oh, maybe you're serious then. Mm-hmm. Of course, that doesn't change everything because it is one feature, one song with someone massive that can't create your life.
Yeah.
But I think there have been like multiple turning points where I have had some luck. Because I do think like half of it is your consistency.
Correct.
But then a lot of it is luck. Why did he find me? Why did Naval watch me at an open mic before I had any of my own music? And she remembered me and then put me in his, potential options for a feature on that record. So did the Idris Elba one. Time passed. I worked on some other stuff. Idris actually, Elba signed one of my EPs to his record label, Seven Wallace.
Good for you.
And I kept working a lot in sync. Sync is basically the music term for music for advertising and for commercials and things like that. I started working really heavily in that because it is such a big part of the market in terms of like how musicians and artists and producers actually make money.
Okay.
Unless you have a song in the top 40, those radio plays don't add up to too much. I think like the BBC, I might be wrong, but the BBC play about £50 per play.
Right.
So split between me and me as a producer and artist or whatever, is £25 each.
Yeah.
And then you take the label, takes a little cut. So maybe we end up with like £20 a play.
Yeah.
And unless you're being played every day, a couple times an hour, there's no way you can make money in recorded music, which is why record labels exist. They're marketing infrastructures and they're banks. Whereas with Sync, you can make a piece of music that gets used by a brand and they pay you a much larger fee all in one for a certain amount of time. In 2021, I wrote a song still online at home with a producer via Zoom, and that got synced to a FedEx in January 2022.
Okay.
And then in 2022, in October, which is my birthday month, I got an Apple ad. And that kind of obviously meant that I never had to go back to doing any other work.
Wow.
And it just meant that I could focus my time on doing advertising music, but then also art music, go on tour and things like that. It is not a straightforward game.
Yeah.
And the truth is that a lot of these amazing stars that are coming up now, and they're like, how, where they've come? They've been signed since they were 15. Like,
so even it takes that long.
It takes that long, yeah. And like, if you think about the Brits Awards,
yeah,
they're named after the Brit School, which is a performance and music school in South London,
oh,
I think.
No way. Okay.
So there's a lot of channels through which very talented people get found and given resources to continue on their creative endeavors. But if you are a little Eastern European girl, and you don't have a lot of protection or a lot of community here, you have to fight harder and you have to figure out what's worth it. Am I going to put all of my energy into hoping that a record label signs me and someone at the record label says, yeah, she's going to be great, I'm going to make her a star? Mm-hmm. And I took the independent route and focused half my time on making advertising music, which is less glamorous.
Yeah.
But it meant that I don't have to take yes or no from somebody.
That's it, yeah.
So I think it is for me a lot about regaining independence through understanding your business.
Right.
Not just being the best at it or getting some kind of momentum through one big specific event. I think with all of us, our life success is like loads of little events that eventually all add up.
I guess, right? Yeah. Sure, it wasn't just luck. Like, I think you always have to have that element of luck in life as well.
Yeah.
I think you work hard. So the harder you work, the luckier you get, I guess, mm-hmm. is actually the saying, right?
Exactly.
So it's good. The hours add up.
The hours add up.
So tell us about your tour. You said you went on tour.
I went on tour in the summer of 2020 with Rudimental. They did a small tour around the UK. I met Piers and Kezi and the boys from Rudimental, I think the beginning of 2022. And we wrote some music together, and now it's finally been signed, and it's coming out next week. Not next week, next month. I'm too excited. I'm like, next week. I want to exacerbate the time. oops.
Amazing.
And it's coming out through the same Naval who put me in front of Idris. She's now working for a label called 360 that's owned by Pete Tong and Calvin Harris and has a lot of really cool people that are working in it with it. And it's an independent label, so I think it's still relates back to my independent mindset, and it's been a long time of negotiation and just in general making sure I have the right support and the right team around me, because I'm a creator, you know. I make music.
Say, do you negotiate yourself, or do you have someone negotiating?
I have a fabulous lawyer, but I do understand it enough to know what my parameters are and what matters to me and what doesn't. So whether it's the time or length of the money or whatever it is, the percentages, what they take, you know, there's so many little things, and I don't oversee it completely because a lawyer is important in this space, especially when dealing with international contracts and things like that.
Yeah.
I think music and business is very interesting to me. One part that I did miss out accidentally was a while when I left working for AI, I actually started in a music management company.
Wow.
So I toured some of Europe with a South African artist called Moonchild Sinelli. And I worked there for about a year, and then COVID happened. And obviously touring and live stopped. So I needed to rejig my situation.
Yeah.
But I've always been very interested in the middle of music and business and totally understanding how it works. And I think that that has helped me in my career, because I've started to understand how money comes from, where it goes, how it flows, who makes the decisions, why they make the decisions. Like,
So are you going to continue having your own little label?
I do. I have a little label called Mananaba, which means my belly button in Latvian.
Okay.
Because I think that our female lineage and the power that we get from our mothers should never be forgotten. Mm-hmm. And I love my mother very dearly, and she's sacrificed a lot in her life to give me the opportunities that I have, and she has fought for me and things. So I think calling my label my belly button in my own home language, like my mother's tongue, is a way of celebrating.
Very sweet.
Recognizing that lineage and that power, and also knowing that I am a global child.
Yeah.
You know, I'm living in London.
Yeah.
In some ways, I'm much more British than I think. And, you know, my partner's British, and I love being here. London is my home.
Yeah.
But I'm also Latvian, and it's okay to be both.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think being Latvian, living in London and having to chew through a lot of the fat that was remaining from the social values back home in the 90s and early 2000s and working through that. But then realizing that back home, there's other people who are like me too. You know, they might just not live here.
Yeah.
And that an identity of a country isn't just what was the predominant fashion or the permitted behaviors. It's anyone can be.
I think
anywhere.
London is so global as well. Once you're here, you have the whole world at your feet, really. So and you get everyone comes from somewhere, I think. So it's kind of like a nice mix of every race, every color, every country. So
and you learn so much from other people, you know.
You become very open-minded, I think, to a lot of things that you don't, especially in maybe Eastern European countries. Very uniform.
It can be uniform, but to their own detriment. And often you see that when they travel out or have experiences that they might have been guarded against, once they actually experience them, or other cultures, or the food, or the whatever, their barriers break down and they let the love in. But it's much easier here because, like you said, it's a global melting pot, but back home is not.
So what advice, kind of to end this lovely conversation with you, would you give to young, hopefuls, or up-and-coming girls, maybe specifically, that want to break into the industry like you have?
Study the greats.
Yeah.
But know that your true power will come in your consistency and in how deep you delve into your strengths and your assets and do your own shadow work. Yeah. We all don't have to be the best singer, dancer or something. There will always be somebody who's better at something. But by making yourself as well-rounded and also as refined as possible and just working on your craft seriously, putting all those tens of thousands of hours, it will lead you somewhere beautiful. And it might not look like what you think, but allow the process.
Yeah, just allow the path to happen. Eliza, thank you so much
for
this chat today. It was such a pleasure hosting you.
Impromptu.
Just tell us for the end, what single are we listening out
for? Yes, so I have an EP coming soon, but the first single of that EP is called Come Roll With Me. It's drum and bass, and it was produced by my friend Slim, my friend Piers and Kezi, who are of Rudimental, and it just means the world to me. Come Roll With Me is this song all about actually telling people that they can be on your side, they can be on your team. It's about building longer tables, not higher fences, and breaking down the gatekeeping. So yeah, Come Roll With Me, coming out in May 2024.
Amazing, I'm getting goosebumps. Thank you so much.
Thank you.